May I have your attention, please?
Your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
And now that I do have your attention, KPTZ does have your attention. Thank you to Karen Anderson for a new theme to it. For attention, please, replacing a whole lot of shaking. Who needs to shake when we have good company? We have good company today in the persons of Skip Catterett and Cindy Jane. I'm trying to unmute them both. Maybe they can, there we go. I'm going to be talking with Skip Catterett about the Wave Food Drive and with Cindy Jane about the Jefferson County Climate Action Committee. We'll start first with Skip, and we will say good afternoon to Skip.
Hey there, Phil. Good to see you. Oh, hear you.
You can see me too, because we're doing this on Zoom, and we're much happier doing this on Zoom than we would be on just the telephone, because
there you go.
We do like to look at each other. And Skip, we've done this before.
Indeed. Yes. Yeah. You have been so gracious to let me come and talk about this food drive that happens every year.
It happens every year. It's happened, I think, for 36 years, or this is the 36th year anyway.
This, you got it right. This is the 36th year for the Wave Food Drive.
You were not around for the first, Skip. I mean, you were living for the first, but I do not believe you were the organizer for the...
No, I wasn't. Way back in the day, it was some local churches in Port Townsend that decided that the Port Townsend Food Bank could stand to have some support. And so they created some very... they created a very interesting way to go about the whole thing. They sliced the whole community up into quadrants and would go door to door asking people for donations. So things are a little different today, but we're still trying to get those donations, both of food and finances, to support our food banks. Four of them now. Brennan and Quilcene and Tri-Area and, of course, Port Townsend.
So we have in this community a very diverse population with respect to wealth and ability to buy food. Do you have any assessment, perhaps even a quantitative assessment, of how severe the food shortage, I will say food, poor distribution of food is in our community? How many hungry people do you think there are?
Typically, I mean, I can tell you primarily from my chats with Shirley Moss from the Port Townsend Food Bank, I can tell you that they see around 200 families every Wednesday, 200, 250 around there. It rises and falls, but right about in that place, that's pretty normal. It tends to be around 100 or so for, say, Quilcene, Brennan, folks coming in on those days. Oh, I should say about Port Townsend, the Port Townsend numbers don't include the senior citizens that come in on Saturday. That's another whole set, maybe another 100 folks coming in.
So we're talking about a significant number of people. Even
yes,
though you and I think, eat pretty well, Skip, many people don't. And it's kind of you in particular to organize an effort to look after those people who have to struggle for the simple basic of life, which is to save food. Last year, I believe you collected a bit over $25,000 in cash and nearly a ton of food.
That's right. It was an amazingly generous year. We broke some records there on that particular one. I'm hoping we can do it again. But whatever we bring in is going to benefit all four of the food banks.
You don't have a goal, really, do you? You just try to get everything you possibly can and say thank you.
That is totally it. That is personally, as I look at it, and, you know, Phil, I'm just a guy that points and waves and makes noise and stuff like that. The people that are making it happen are the folks in the community, the folks in the local churches that are participating. They're the ones that are bringing in the food and the donations. But I'm just a big loud voice, that's all.
Well, and so. You used to be a big loud voice on KPTZ as a DJ, and these days as perhaps not quite so loud a voice, you are the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Port Townsend, so your sermons may or may not be loud, but as I said, you do good work out there.
Yep, it's not just me. You know, I should also mention while we're talking about this, who makes this happen, I want to mention the great folks out at Calla Point. Ann Bambrick, who used to be the organizer out there for the whole Calla Point community for the Wave, she's had to set things aside due to health issues. And two brand new folks, Pat Roble and Charlene Quant, have picked it up. And they're now the Call of Point folks. And they have done some incredible work raising funds for the Wave.
Okay, so we have thousands of listeners right now with a money to donate and food in their pantry that they would like to share. How do they go about doing that?
The thing to remember at this point in time, because this is kind of the first salvo. So the thing to remember is Saturday, October 23rd. Saturday, October 23rd is when a number of locations will be open, including both QFC stores in Port Townsend and Port Hadlock. Number of locations will be open and you can make donations. You can bring food into those places. You can bring financial donations to those places. You can find that information at the website, wavefooddrive.wordpress.com. And I'll say that again in fine radio form, wavefooddrive.wordpress.com.
And anyone who did not take notes or is not taking notes on Attention Please right now can also easy email address write to me at cats, that is cat plural, C-A-T-S at kptz.org. And I know these email addresses as well and how to get a hold of Skip. So once you've collected all this food, how do you go about distributing it around the county?
Well, that's where we have another partner, OliCap. Everybody's familiar with OliCap in a variety of ways. When the food comes in, that gets delivered in its entirety to the OliCap warehouse, and a certain set of folks break that down and try to separate it out into four equal pieces to go out to the various food banks. The funds go directly to the food bank board. They also take that money, get it deposited, and then they separate that money and get it out equally to the four food banks in Jefferson County.
And the food banks, is the one in Port Townsend, I know in particular because it's right next door here to KPTZ. One I see on Wednesdays when I come in the lines. And also Shirley Moss. And as a pastor, you don't have this power, but I told Shirley on the air once that I thought, and I still think, that she is a saint. She just works and works and works and does it so well. So you cannot canonize her. I guess I can. And I just did.
I think we can go along with that. I couldn't agree more. She is one of the great people in our community. She does an incredibly good job, all as a volunteer, I might add. And that takes care of a lot of people.
What do you not take? I know cash is cash, but there are food items you don't take. How about pet food also and toiletries?
Any food items that have been opened, that's not okay. Home canned goods, we can't take those either. If it's expired, but the expiration is under 3 years, that's okay. We can still take that for use in the food bank. As far as other kinds of things like shampoo or pet food or any of those kind of things, even if those things have been opened, those kind of things we can take. So like shampoo, conditioner, that sort of thing.
Okay, Skip Catterett, one more time, the event upcoming, the end of the month.
Wave Food Drive, and the website is wavefooddrive.wordpress.com. Remember Saturday, the 23rd of October, as Wave Food Drive Day.
Skip,
here we go.
Skip Catterett, it's always a pleasure to see you and to talk to you.
And good to be with you, Phil. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it, and really appreciate KPTZ and all the good they do in the community as well.
Yeah, as do I. Have a good afternoon, Skip.
Thank you.
Now I'm going to turn to Cindy. Cindy Chain. Hello, Cindy.
Hello.
I'm hoping that you... There you are. I like the way Zoom works automatically, so now I have you front and center on my screen. Cindy Jane is the chair of the Jefferson County and City of Port Townsend Climate Action Committee. It's an advisory body to the City Council and the County Commission. Cindy, how many are you on this committee?
There are 15 of us altogether, a combination of organizational representatives as well as citizen volunteers.
And Cindy, you're probably using a laptop computer?
No, PC, actually.
Okay, but if you could snuggle up a little closer to it, that would be really, we'd get better sound that way.
Sure, how's that?
But it is better, actually. On September 20th, you briefed the City Council on your work and your report. which we'll talk about. And you'll do the same for the BOCC on October 11th. Your report is titled 2020 Greenhouse Gas Community Emissions Reduction Opportunities, which is a bit of a mouthful, and was produced by a subcommittee of which you're a member. The report is titled 2020 Greenhouse Gas Reduction Modeling Team. Well, that is the team for the Climate Action Committee. I hope people can sort all those words out. So your team members, you're one of them. Dave Tilk is another, I believe. We heard him just a moment ago regarding the recyclery. And who else?
And Cindy Bratz was the other person. And yeah, we're really thankful to have both Dave and Cindy really put a whole lot of effort into this report, brought a lot of time and passion to it and expertise, certainly. So great opportunity to leverage both of their expertise on this report.
And how long ago did you begin this report? How many months did it take you to produce it?
Yeah, it was quite a long time. We started it, I think it was like June of last year, and right, and it was just officially approved by the committee May of this year. So yeah, it was pretty close to a full year's effort. It was based on, the Climate Action Committee updated our greenhouse gas inventory the previous year using what's called an organization called ICLEI, I-C-L-E-I. They provide the greenhouse gas software that we used for it. And then they had some training and additional software to help model greenhouse gas reduction opportunities building off that inventory. So we had fresh data that was based on 2018 data that showed us what our countywide emissions were. And then using that data, we were able to model what kind of reduction we might get through a variety of different scenarios.
So we have a goal established by both the City Council and the County Commissioners, a goal that we want to reach in 2020. What is that goal? And in your estimation, is it realistic?
Well, actually, the goal that the Climate Action Committee set and the City and County adopted back in 2008 is to reduce our emissions 80% below 1990 levels by 2050. And the inventory showed we've made good progress. We're actually about halfway towards that goal, but we have more to do. And of course, worldwide, we're not doing so well in terms of making progress in terms of reducing our emissions. So the more we can do here in Jefferson County, the better off we're going to be. So we still have further to go to meet that goal. And we may even want to consider a stronger goal given where we are worldwide.
So with respect to COVID vaccinations, we're in Jefferson County leading, maybe not the leader, but leading the state anyway. Do you think the same can be said for our reduction of carbon emissions?
You know, yes and no. It's fabulous that we're able to make a great reduction so far, but they were really based previously on two main factors. One was we switched our electricity supplier from Puget Sound Energy to Bonneville Power. And Bonneville being primarily hydro really cut our emissions of our electricity. So that was a big factor. And of course, the community, as you probably know, the community voted for that to happen to make that change. So we certainly should be patting ourselves on the back for that. The other thing was the Portenza Paper Company reduced their emissions by over 50%. So, but really it was those two factors that helped, but we went the wrong way in some other areas. We went the wrong way in terms of vehicle miles traveled or the amount of miles driven on Jefferson County roads. That increased not only as a total number, but also per capita. And that's really causing our transportation to now be 66% of our total community-wide emissions. So that's really a key opportunity for us all to help drive down our emissions.
Cindy Jane, did you attempt to model or even just guess at the effect of the pandemic on especially the transportation budget?
You know, it definitely helped a bit. I mean, worldwide, we saw a drop in transportation, and I know we saw that early on within Washington State in particular. But a lot of that's the rebounding. You know, a lot of those numbers have crept back up to close to where they were before. So I think one of the opportunities we have is to think about how can we build on maybe some of those good habits of where we were able to work from home more and maybe combine trips more and, you know, looked at those opportunities. But some of the other opportunities we modeled were things like how can, you know, opportunities to expand our transit system to provide more opportunities for folks to get on the bus. Maybe they didn't do that so much in COVID, but coming out of it, that's an opportunity, as well as looking at how do we get to work and how can we improve that? Things like employee commute reduction programs, you know, offers incentives for folks to consider alternative ways to get to work.
With respect to total carbon, what are the leading causes of emissions in our county? And how maybe does that mix differ from elsewhere in the state, maybe the country?
Yeah, so transportation, again, is number one. Essentially, because our electricity is so clean, our emissions are generated primarily by burning fossil fuels. And primarily, that's the ones in our cars. But it's also where we're heating with propane or fuel oil. So that's essentially our biggest mission is cutting the direct burn of fossil fuels. You know, we're fortunate, again, that our PUD has very clean electricity, and Washington State is very actively moving to have the entire state be carbon neutral in terms of electricity. So I think we're good from that perspective. But because of that, we really need to focus on our direct burning of fossil fuels.
So when you made your presentation to the city council, and more generally, what opposition has there been to your effort and to your report? Who has come out against it or to criticize it, and why?
So far, nobody. So I can't. Yep, we've been fortunate not to have received any negative feedback. I guess I'll say, and this is the report. Is focused on sort of the direct emissions within Jefferson County. The inventory also included a consumption-based inventory that's based on what we all buy, which may be made in other areas. So that's just a limitation, I'll say, of the report, is we really just focused on what's burned within the county.
So how can our listeners get a copy of this report, either electronically or in paper form, a hard copy, so that they can read it and learn what the findings that you came up with are?
Yep. Yeah. Great question. The best thing is to go to the county. If you go to the county's webpage, and it's kind of a long URL, so I'm not going to go through it. But and then if you just Google Jefferson County Climate Action Committee, I'm pretty sure it'll take you there. And then if you go to the documents subpage of that, you can find the report, you can find the inventory, and you can find this recent reduction report.
And I will say that if any of our listeners are having any trouble finding the report, that I do have a URL link to it, and we'll share it with you if you write to me at CATS, once again, CATS, C-A-T-S, at kptz.org. You have a presentation coming up before the Board of Commissioners. Are you hoping to have members of the public there to support you?
Yes, that is always great to have the public there and show their support for this work. And there's always, the BOCC meetings, of course, have public comment periods as well. But that would be earlier in the morning. I want to mention also there's a Climate Action Committee meeting next week as well on the 12th from 3 to 5 p.m. You can find that also on the Climate Action Committee webpage of the county. And we really encourage the public to attend those, learn what's going on, and look and see how they might be able to get involved.
And Cindy, what's on the agenda next for the committee?
So we're actually in the process of finalizing a report. Same organization, ICLEI, had another training, and we had another group of volunteers. Cindy Bratz was one who participated in both, looking at modeling the carbon sequestration of our trees and forests across the county. So we're in the process of finalizing that report, and we will be getting that out once that's approved, releasing that as well, and having some public outreach. I'm going to say we're also planning public outreach on this greenhouse gas reduction report in November. We don't have specific dates yet, but we will be having public meetings on that.
Cindy, I need to tell you that we're out of time. Cindy Jane is the chair of the Jefferson County and City of Port Townsend Climate Action Committee. And thank you very much, Cindy.
Thank you.